The Jackie Capri Show. Good afternoon and welcome to the Jackie Capri Show on Aculco Radio. I'm delighted to introduce this afternoon West End actress-singer Gay Soper, who is currently playing the role of Mrs. Alexander in the highly acclaimed National Theatre production of The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime at the Apollo Theatre, Shaftesbury Avenue. The play has won 7 Olivier Awards and has been adapted from the book by Mark Haddon, which has won 17 Book Awards. Gay, what does it feel like to be in a play which has won so many awards and is also adapted from the novel, which has also won several awards?
Hello, Jackie. Well, it's absolutely thrilling, as you can imagine. Yes. I think for any performer to actually be in a hit show where every single performance, 8 shows a week, the audience is just packed with people. There's almost never any empty space at all. And they adore it. They're very attentive. They laugh at all the funny bits. They cry at the sad bits. And they go wild at the end. So it's extremely rewarding and thrilling. I'm part of a whole new cast that took over on September the 2nd. We had a 6-week rehearsal period and then opened then, and we're playing until March the 1st. I knew about the play before I went into it, but I hadn't seen it because I'd been not working in London. But it transferred from the Cottesloe, which is the small theatre at the National, to Shaftesbury Avenue, and as you say, won all those awards.
Oh, it's absolutely fantastic. It's a very curious title, and I understand it comes from a Sherlock Holmes quote from a short Arthur Conan Doyle story entitled Silver Blaze.
Well, isn't that interesting? Yes. I'm afraid I didn't know that, but I'm sure you're right.
Well, for the benefit of our listeners, could you explain what the play is about and how Mrs. Alexander, the part you play, features in it?
Well, the play, taken very, very faithfully from the book, so those listeners who have read the book would not be disappointed coming to see the show, is really seeing life through the eyes of a young man of 15 who has Asperger's syndrome, which is on the spectrum of autism. But the people who have Asperger's are exceptionally intelligent, quite often geniuses in one field or another. In this particular story, the boy is a genius at maths, but in other respects he can't handle life very well, and he has to go to a special school. And nobody really knows how to deal with him. His parents have been almost driven apart because of the exasperation of looking after him. The mother's gone off. And so you see, but what's so wonderful is that you see life through this boy's eyes, and you begin to understand a little of what it must be like to have Asperger's, and how you can misunderstand what people are saying to you, or you can misunderstand the way, the expression on somebody's face, that, you know, we instantly know, oh, that person looks puzzled, or that person looks cross. They don't always understand, and they don't understand emotions. So at one point his mother is crying, and he says, why are you crying? And he doesn't understand it. So of course it's terribly hard for her, but it's hard for him too, because he realizes there's something he can't quite grasp. And it's terribly moving, but the end of the piece is very triumphant, because he sits his maths A level and gets an A star.
So it ends in a high.
Oh, very much so.
It's
euphoric. It's absolutely euphoric. And you know, he plans on going to university and getting a whole wonderful life. He wants to be a scientist. So it's full of hope, really.
Which is what you want when you leave a theatre, actually.
Yes.
Especially if you've gone through all the gruelling bits in between.
Yes.
And I'm very frustrating if the character cannot express himself as he wants to.
Yes.
And what about your character, Mrs. Alexander?
My character is one of the neighbours And he goes around seeing all the neighbours because he's made a terrible discovery in somebody's front garden, one of the other neighbours' front garden. There's been a dog that's been murdered by with a fork stuck through it.
Yes.
And the police then arrest him because they think that, obviously, they think he's killed the dog, which is completely not the case because he adores dogs. And so he decides to become a detective and go around asking the neighbours, do you know what happened? Do you know who killed the dog? Did you hear anything unusual? And so on. And I'm one of the neighbours that he talks to, and I'm very kind to him because I've got a grandson of about the same age. And so I ask him to come in and have tea with me. And I don't want to give away all the story, it's a very, very lovely character, and I love playing her.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yes.
Lovely. Now, your first choice of music is The Lark Ascending by Vaughan Williams. And can you tell us why you've chosen this?
Well, yes, I thought, perhaps one should start with one's childhood. And my earliest recollection of life was hearing the lark singing as it hovered over the cornfields at the end of the road where we lived. And I know that I was in my cot still at that time.
Really?
So I must have been, under a year.
Yes.
And I remember this glorious sound of the lark. They soar and they hover over the fields, and it's a sound of pure joy. And so many years later, when I was a grown-up and I heard this wonderful piece of music by Vaughan Williams, The Lark Ascending, I've always adored it, because I think, again, it's full of the celebration of being alive.
Yes, yes. Okay, well, we'll listen to this. You played many parts in the West End and in the UK and abroad. In the West End, you played Madame Thénardier in Les Misérables.
Yes.
That must have been such fun.
It was brilliant. I did it for 3 years. I was on the international cast recording. I played opposite Barry James, who was Monsieur Thénardier. And I'd already known him because I'd been in Billy with him at Drury Lane. So I already knew him. And it was we had a wonderful, wonderful partnership for those 3 years. And I had a glorious time, yes.
Oh. And you've also played the chanteuse in Marguerite.
Yes.
You were Anna in Les Miettes, Bertha in Pippin, and you played three parts, Alison, Molly and May in Canterbury Tales.
Well, yes, Canterbury Tales was when I had my first leading role in the West End. I was 22. And, of course, there is a lot of narrative in the Canterbury Tales at the beginning, but then it goes into, I think there were four tales in the show, and in three of those four tales, I played the sort of naughty young girl. So, and in two of them, I played opposite Wilfred Bramble.
Oh, that must have been fun.
It was lovely. He was very, very nice to me. He was very sweet. Oh. Yes, I played first of all, his bride in one of the tales, and she's bored to tears because she's been married to this very, very old man and she's just not interested. And then she's very unfaithful to him. She climbs up into the pear tree and does naughty things with a deliciously handsome young manservant. And then the other tale, I also played his wife, and I can't remember what I did now. Anyway, it was a lot of fun.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. You were also in the original London cast of Godspell, both at Roundhouse and Wyndham's.
Yes.
Side by side at Wyndham's and the Garrick. Debo in the Mitford Girls.
Yes. Well, the Mitford Girls is one of my favourite ever shows. It was all about the six Mitford sisters. Mm. Or is it five? Oh, dear.
Oh, I can never remember.
Six, just a minute. It was... Anyway, I played Debo, who is the only surviving sister. She is now Duchess of Devonshire, but she was the youngest of the sisters, and they had a brother as well called Tom, which was played by Oz Clarke, who's the now famous wine writer.
Oh.
Patricia Hodge played Nancy Mitford, who, of course, is very, very famous novelist.
Yes.
And Liz Robertson was Decca.
Oh, she was in it too.
Jessica Mitford, who became Jessica Trueheart. Yeah, so an amazing family of women. And all the surviving ones came to see the show at Chichester before we transferred to the West End. So it was incredible to meet them all.
Oh, that must have been fun.
It was a lot of fun.
You were in Good for the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Yes.
Lady Rayburn in Salad Days at the Vaudeville.
Yes.
Gertrude in Witch. And you played Yvette in Mother Courage at the Royal National Theatre.
Yes, that was my first time working for the National. And I played the role of Yvette Potier, who's the prostitute. And it's very funny, really. It always amuses me. I'm a girl from a terribly sort of straight middle class background. But I've often played either very, very upper class or royal people or the opposite end of the spectrum. And I adored it.
Oh, I bet.
Yes.
Who directed you in that?
That was Jonathan Kent.
Oh, really?
Yes, Jonathan Kent. And Diana Rigg played Mother Courage.
Oh, what fun.
And she was very nice to me. Yes. She was delightful to work with.
Oh, well, that's nice to know. And you also played the part of Barbara, one of the three girlfriends of Michael Crawford, in the musical Billy at Drury Lane Theatre.
Yes.
That ran for quite a while, didn't it?
Yes. It opened in 1974, I think. And I only stayed in it for the first 6 months. But it did run about another 6 months. I think it must have run for about a year to a year and a half.
Mm.
And we made the cast album, of course.
Great.
In fact, most of these musicals I've done, they've all had cast albums made of
them. Fabulous.
So I've got quite a lot of albums.
Oh, how nice.
It's lovely for posterity. You listen back to yourself sort of 40 years later and think, good Lord. So that's what I sound like.
I know, but it's good to have, isn't it? It's like an archive of music.
It's wonderful.
All the shows you've been in.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Only many of them are not on CD.
Oh, so
the Godspell cast, I would have played Turn Back O Man from Godspell for you today, but it's not on CD.
Oh, can it not be transposed onto a
it
CD?
It could.
Yes.
I'm not very
A lot
clever.
Of work, though. A lot of work. Now, your next choice is Hoagy Carmichael's Stardust. Yes. Well, why is that?
Well, because I had a very, very happy childhood, and my father worked at J. Walter Thompson, the big advertising agency, at 40 Berkeley Square.
Yeah.
But had he been born today, perhaps, he would, in fact, have been a professional pianist. But in those days, straight after the war, you just had to be sensible and earn proper salary to support your wife and children. So when he came home from 40 Berkeley Square every night, he would take off his hat and coat and sit down at the piano in the hall, and he would play Hoagy Carmichael, Cole Porter, Rodgers and Hart, Noel Coward, Jerome Kern, Frank Lesser, all those wonderful, wonderful writers of the 20s, 30s and 40s.
Oh,
and
how delightful.
It went on for my entire childhood.
Oh, what a memory to look back on.
Yes.
Hello, men. This is Hoagy Carmichael again. Seems that your special service men from New York have made another trip out to Hollywood and have collared me to do some more tunes on V-Disc. So here goes, and I hope you like them.
Lovely.
Beautiful.
And lovely memories of your dad.
Yes.
You were in the original tour of My Fair Lady, in which you played Eliza Doolittle. You've since played two other parts in it, Mrs. Pierce at Kilworth House Theatre, and Mrs. Higgins when you did a tour of Denmark. It must have been an interesting experience playing three different parts at different times over the years in the same musical.
Very much so, yes. I mean, of course, it's a wonderful script, being originally written by Bernard Shaw. So all the characters are meaty and interesting. And, of course, the music is ravishingly beautiful by Lerner and Lowe.
Mm.
So, it was great to do it three times. I think I've done with it now, though.
Yes.
I think three times is enough.
You also played Fräulein Schneider in Cabaret at Frankfurt.
Oh, that was great. It was directed by the wonderful Matthew White, who just had the great success with What's the musical? It's just finished. It's all dancing.
Dear.
Top Hat.
Oh, yes.
He directed Top Hat. Anyway, he directed me. And again, I played opposite Barry James. I played Fräulein Schneider, who is a sort of aging landlady stroke spinster. And he was Herr Schulz, who was a fruit seller from town, and he woos her.
Aww.
And they have a duet called which is about, he's given her a pineapple and she's ecstatic. She thinks it's the most wonderful thing to be given. But yeah, we had a wonderful time in Frankfurt. We were there for 3 or 4 months, and I loved living in Germany. It was very, very interesting, and it was a huge success, the entire production.
Oh, that's great. And how lovely to work with him again.
Oh, wonderful.
You were in Cole, the musical review with lyrics and music of Cole Porter in Hong Kong.
Yes, we began at Leatherhead. We went to Hong Kong Arts Festival, and my whole life's ambition had been, above all, to go to China. Don't ask me why, just one of those things. So I went into China. I had to join a group because it was 1980 we're talking about here, and you couldn't go in as an individual tourist. But I joined a group. And everybody who joined the group were all individual tourists who were like me, had to join the group, whether, you know, that was how it was done. And we went up to Guangzhou, and then we went to Guilin, and then we went to Shanghai, and then to Beijing. And it was just the 12 most thrilling and exciting and fascinating days of my life.
Oh, that's wonderful. Did you manage to see the Great Wall?
Yes.
Oh, and the terracotta soldiers?
No, they hadn't been discovered.
Somewhere else?
No, they hadn't been discovered then.
Oh, wow.
No.
But what a wonderful experience for you.
It was wonderful.
You did Narnia in New York.
Yes, that was fun. It was lovely.
How long were you there for?
Oh, it was only about a month. It was a sort of production that had come from the church that I went to called All Hallows by the Tower
near
London Bridge. Mm-hmm. The priest who ran that church was always adored theatre and anything to do with entertainment. And so he put on a production of Narnia one year in the church.
How amazing.
And then we transferred it to a sister church in New York.
That's amazing.
Yes, now, we did that with Betchamania as well.
Oh, God, I had no idea you'd done that. Mm. Goodness.
Great.
And you played Ruth in Noel Coward's Blithe Spirit in Stockholm. What a wonderful part.
Yes, a wonderful and terribly difficult part. A wonderful play. I'm a huge Noel Coward fan. And it was wonderful to live in Stockholm for, I think we were there for 3 or 4 months.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, you really get to know a city then. And also, if you're working somewhere, as opposed to if you go as a mere tourist, you get a whole different feel about it.
Now, you performed in so many plays and musicals. Have you got any favourites?
Oh, well, I mean, certainly Godspell and the Mitford Girls. What else have I... Well, Sunday in the Park with George was wonderful. I it's impossible really to say what my most favourite show is. I adored Betchamania. I loved doing the Sisty Wendy musical. I've loved everything really.
Well, you've done such an amazing body of work and so many different diverse characters and plays.
Yes.
It's no wonder. Now, you played all of Betcherman's women in Betchamania. So I'm going to play your next choice, which is the comedy poem Hunter Trials from Betchamania.
Right.
Would you like to elaborate on your reason for choosing this?
Well, Betchamania was a wonderful, wonderful compilation show of poetry written by Sir John Betjeman, some of which were set to music, but mm-hmm. some of which we spoke. I did it with my then husband, mm-hmm. Barry Stokes, and the man who wrote the music is a wonderful man called John Gould, who's very sadly died last year. But he was sort of a lifelong friend, and I think his best work was in this show. However, I'm putting this particular piece on just because it's a contrast to everything else I'm playing today.
Yes.
Because it's a spoken piece, and so his music is underneath, and I'm not actually singing, but it's a wonderful quirky poem of a young girl who's about to compete in a gymkhana. So she's sitting on her horse, and she's frightfully, frightfully upper class, and she's a real little snob, only she doesn't really realise that she is.
Oh, great.
It's all on Diana. Her ponies have swallowed their bits. She fished on their throats with a spanner and frightened them all into fits. So now she's attempting to borrow. Do lend her some bits, Mummy, do. I'll lend her my own for tomorrow, but today I'll be wanting them too. Just look at Prunella on Guzzle. The wizardest pony on earth. Why doesn't she slacken his muzzle and tighten the breech in his girth? I say, Mummy, there's Mrs. Geezer. And doesn't she look pretty sick? I bet it's because Mona Lisa was hit on the hock with a brick. Miss Blewett says Monica threw it. But Monica says it was Joan. And Joan's very thick with Miss Blewett, so Monica's sulking alone. And Margaret's failed in her paces. Her withers got tied in a noose. So her coronet's caught in the traces. Now all her fetlocks are loose. Oh, it's me now. I'm terribly nervous. I wonder if Smudges will shy. She's practically certain to swerve. Her pelham is over one eye.
It was great.
Oh, goodness. Now, other parts you've played are Terence Rattigan's mother Vera in The Art of Concealment at the Brighton Festival.
Yes, that was a couple of years ago, a play written by Giles Cole, a new play, about the interesting... how life has changed, really, because Terence Rattigan, who was one of our most celebrated playwrights, but then went out of fashion for many years, but it was his centenary last year, so a lot of his plays were being done, yes. And very successfully. They all sort of came back into fashion again. But about his private life was that he was gay, and he could not tell that to anybody, including his mother, and he had to spend an awful lot of time and energy trying to conceal... the truth about himself. And so it dealt with that issue. It was a very, very interesting play.
Yes, it must have been. You also played Helena in Morris's Jubilee.
Oh, yes, that was last year. Was it last year or this year? No, this year. A wonderful play by, I'm sure you know who Nicola McAuliffe is.
Oh, God, yes.
Yes, and she's not only a wonderful performer, but she's a wonderful writer.
Yes.
And she wrote this three-hander play, which she had done at the Edinburgh Festival the previous year with Sheila Reid and Julian Glover, who is now Sir Julian Glover. Mm. And Nicola herself was in it. And then they went on a tour, but Sheila wasn't available for the last 4 weeks of the tour because she was having to fly back to Spain to do more episodes of Benidorm.
Oh, yes.
So I was roped in. It was a huge role, and I had a very short time to rehearse it in, but fortunately I had one very dear friend who helped me immensely in preparing for it.
Oh, good.
And then we did that tour for 4 weeks, and it was a challenge, and it was very exciting.
Oh, God, yes. Especially when you have such a short time in which to learn something.
Very.
Quite scary, actually.
Yes.
You were also the storyteller in Stiles and Drew's new musical version of Peter Pan in Birmingham.
Oh, that was so lovely. Peter Pan is probably my favourite fairy story of all time, anyway. And yes, I played the narrator, so I linked all the scenes together. But then in the final scene, I come back onto the stage, as opposed to being on the outside part of it. I entered the scene of the nursery. And I'm reading something from my narration to the audience with my back to the window when Peter himself comes bursting back into the room, having been absent for many, many years. And I turn, and then the audience realise that, in fact, I am Wendy, but I am old Wendy. And so when Peter Pan looks at me, he says, "Oh, what's happened to you?" And I say, "I've grown old." That's what happens to people. We all grow old. And Peter weeps. And so there's this very, aww, very tender, delicate scene, yes, between us. And then he decides he kind of can't cope with all that, so he sort of flies off again.
Oh, isn't that sad?
it really was very, very beautiful. Oh, I loved playing that.
Sounds absolutely beautiful.
Yes.
Now, you were also Verity Carr in Morse House of Ghosts, which I believe was based on the television series.
It was. We did a tour of that about 3 years ago, and I had a rather hit role that I enjoyed anyway, because I had to get terribly drunk in one scene and I pass out and I had to be carried off.
Oh, dear. Now, your next choice of music is Stravinsky's Firebird.
Oh, yes.
Why have you chosen that?
Well, when I was very young, I thought I hated classical music, but my very first boyfriend was highly educated, and he said, I'm going to start playing classical music to you, and he played me the Firebird. It was one of the first things he played, and I was absolutely gobsmacked. I think it's a wonderful piece of music. It's so expressive. You can see the Firebird when you hear the music. So that's why I've chosen it.
Oh, lovely. That was lovely.
It's wonderful, isn't it? Stravinsky, such an amazing composer.
Oh, absolutely. On The Fringe, you played Lady Jealous Traffic in the restoration comedy The Busybody, which I believe you enjoyed immensely.
I really did. I'd always wanted to do restoration comedy. I don't know why. I just adore it. And I met this young lady director, Jessica Swale, who runs a company called the Red Handed Theatre Company. Mm-hmm. She's also a wonderful writer, because she had one of her first plays performed this summer at the Globe Theatre. It was called Blue Stockings, about the first women who strode out to become highly educated and independent. But she directed this play, The Busybody, which was written by a woman way back in 1709, I think. Her name was Susanna Centlivre. And it was very, very funny, and I had this wonderful, wonderful role that originally, in the original, was played by a man, written for a man, and because Jessica, being quite interested in women's lib, decided to cast it as a woman instead. So I played this very, very jealous mother of a marriageable daughter who keeps flirting from the balcony of the house, and I keep dragging her away back into the house.
Oh, that must have been good fun.
It was wonderful. I wanted to marry her off to a Spanish nobleman, but all my plans were foiled.
You also played Anna in The Rink, Margaret Devizes in The Ladies Not for Burning, Flora Humble in Humble Boy, and Sister Wendy Beckett in the Sister Wendy musical.
Yes. That was written by a lovely chap called Marcus Reeves. And Sister Wendy Beckett is a wonderful broadcaster. She's a nun, but she knows more about art than most people. And yes, I had to be her, which was very interesting. I had to watch lots of newsreels and programmes given by her and try and copy her as best I could.
Well, I think you succeeded from what you were showing me earlier on. And also you played Tsarina Alexandra in Killing Rasputin.
Yeah, that was a very, very lovely show, but it never really came to anything much. We did it at the Bridewell. It was written by Kit Hesketh Harvey.
Oh, yes.
And James McConnell wrote the music. A wonderful story, of course, anything to do with the Russian court, the royal family, the hold that Rasputin held over them all, is a, you know, it will perennially be an amazing story that people want to hear about.
Yes.
And try to understand. And so, yes, I played the Tsarina. So in that case, I was royalty.
Oh, that's lovely.
And I had a beautiful song that I haven't, we're not playing it now, but I did have a lovely song in it. But all the music was really great.
Mm. You also appeared as Old Lady in Blair Daniels in Sunday in the Park with George at the Menier Chocolate Factory. This production transferred to Wyndham's Theatre in the West End in 2006 and won 5 Olivier Awards.
Yes.
It also transferred to Broadway.
Yes, it did. Well, yes, we opened at the Chocolate Factory and you couldn't get a ticket. It transferred to the West End. I mean, it was sold out completely. It was a huge success. And it was a great hit at Wyndham's as well. Wonderful. Daniel Evans was in it, playing the role. And in this track I've chosen, it's a duet that Daniel and I sang together because I played his mother.
Yes. Oh, that'll be interesting to hear you two together.
I remember when you were a little boy. You would rise up early on a Sunday morning and go for a swim.
I do not know how to swim.
The boys would come by the house to get you.
I've always been petrified of the water.
And your father would walk you all to the banks of the Seine.
Father was never faithful to us.
And he would give you boys careful instruction, telling you just how far to swim out.
And he certainly never instructed.
And now, look across there, in the distance. All those beautiful trees, cut down for a foolish tower.
I do not think there were ever trees there.
How I love the view from here. Changing.
I'm quite certain that was an open field.
It keeps changing.
I used to play there as a child.
I see towers.
Well,
that was lovely. Absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you.
You've also performed in opera companies, and you played Little Buttercup in HMS Pinafore.
Yes.
Mad Margaret in Radigore.
Oh, I probably wrote it wrong, didn't I?
No, it's probably me, my pronunciation. Both for Opera della Luna. You played Ruth in Pirates of Penzance at Regent's Park Open Air Theatre.
Yes.
Ruth again and Praskovia in Merry Widow, both for the Carl Rosa Opera Company.
Yes.
Also Nurse in Street Scene and Marshalina in Figaro for Music Theatre London.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I know you're an opera lover, so you must have really enjoyed performing in this genre.
Yes, I absolutely adored it, and I never thought I really would, you know. And of course, they're companies that, well, the opera, the Carl Rosa Opera Company is a real opera company. Some of the companies use actors as well, you know, and I think I got in that way.
Yeah, well, I think that's wonderful. And I think at this point it's appropriate to play your next choice of music, which is Jesse Norman singing Zweignung, is that right?
Zweignung.
Can you say it again, please?
Zweignung.
Lovely, by Richard Strauss. Lovely.
She's a wonderful singer, isn't she?
She really is. Your television work includes two series of both the sitcoms Romany Jones and Rude Health, guest appearances in The Bill, Father Dear Father, Bless This House, Barbara, Doctors, Moon and Son, The History of Mr. Polly, The Prussian Officer and The Needle Match.
Yes.
Your movies include The Ups and Downs of a Handyman, Lace and A Christmas Carol for Hallmark Films. Do you enjoy working in films and television as much as working on the stage?
Well, I think they're very different from each other, and they require very different techniques from a performer. So I'm more comfortable in the theatre in as much as I have done the majority of my work in theatre. But I do love filming, and I'd love to do some more, really. So, yes, any offers out there?
Now, your next choice of music is Don't Let the Sun Catch You Crying, and it is sung by your son, Matthew Stokes.
Don't let the sun my front door. You done daddy dirty. You sure don't want you no more. Don't let the sun catch you lying. Line at my front door.
Was absolutely beautiful, Gay, and I know that this is very poignant for you, but that you wish to tell the story behind your choosing this.
Well, yes. My son died 4.5 years ago, aged 32, of a very rare cancer that began when he was 19 with a brain tumour.
And
it was called hemangiopericytoma.
And
there's very little research done in this particular cancer. I think the main research that's being done is in New York at the moment. And so after he was 19, when he had that tumour, he managed to go to drama school. He did quite a lot of professional work, both on television and in the theatre. And he worked with bands like this one. I'm afraid I can't remember its name. But thank goodness he left some of his work behind, and I think he sang it so beautifully.
Oh, it was gorgeous.
And, you know, it's a tragedy, obviously, to think what he could have been doing if he was still alive. And we played this at his funeral.
Oh.
You can imagine the reaction.
Oh, I can. But how amazing that he carried on. He went to drama school.
And then
he carried on working all those years.
Yes, yes.
After being diagnosed at the age of 19.
He did stand-up comic work.
Oh.
He did, you name it, he did it.
Oh. And now you've got this legacy of all the work he's done with his recordings.
Yeah, yes. So it's very nice. I thought I had to put that on because obviously I'd rather listen to him than anyone else, really.
Well, I mean, I feel privileged that you wanted to play it on my programme, actually.
Thank you.
Now, you're well known for your cabaret act, which you've performed at many venues, including Pizza in the Park and the Jermyn Street Theatre.
Yes.
And your solo album, Flying Fish and Fallen Angels, can in fact be bought from Dress Circle in Monmouth Street, Covent Garden. And they can be contacted on www.dresscircle.com.
www.jackiecupriehow.co.uk. And your last choice of music is If Love Were All by Noel Coward from this solo album. And you've chosen this because...
Well, I think that, first of all, can I just say Dress Circle, the shop, has actually closed.
Oh, I didn't know.
But it is still online.
Oh,
so
dear.
That website is absolutely right.
Oh.
But it's not on Monmouth Street anymore, sadly. The rent's got too much.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yes, I chose this because I adore Noel Coward, and I think the philosophy behind the lyrics is something known by all artists, whatever kind, whichever sex, it doesn't make any difference if you're an artist. There may be many things that go wrong in your life,
yes,
or tragedies that befall you, but somehow, and if love were all, I would be lonely, but there is so much more. I have a talent to amuse.
Oh, I think we can all identify with that.
For a humble Jesus, one can betray one's troubles, never, whatever occurs. Night after night, have to look bright, whether you're well or ill. People must laugh their fill. You mustn't sleep till dawn comes creeping. Life's a jumble indeed, and in my efforts to succeed, I've had to formulate a creed. I believe in doing what I can, in crying when I must, in laughing when I choose. Hey-ho, if love were all, I should be lonely. I believe the more you love a man, the more you give your trust, the more you're bound to lose. Although, when shadows fall, I think, someone affectionate and dear. Cares would be ended if I knew that he wanted to have me near. But I believe that since my life began, the most I've had is just a talent to amuse. Hey-ho, if love were all.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Gay, you've had a wonderful career, and I'd like to thank you for coming on to the show today.
It's a great pleasure. It was very lovely to be here and to hear some of those pieces of music.
Yes.
And to meet you.
Well, I'm just going to mention the show again. If anybody wants to see The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, it's on at the Apollo Theatre, Shaftesbury Avenue, Monday to Saturday at 7:30 p.m, with matinees on Thursdays and Saturdays at 2:30 p.m. You can telephone the box office on 0844 412 4658, or you can book online. And I have to say, it was a real pleasure to meet you, Gay, as well.
It was a pleasure to meet you too. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me. Have a great rest of the week and a wonderful weekend. I hope you will join me next week when I shall have another guest for you. Goodbye once again to everybody.
The Jackie Capri Show.